It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Hey, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And Jethro, that's country with a twist for all you people out there. 94.9 GR. Bob, 99.5 in your hometown of Lowell.
Yes, sir. And welcome to the show. Thanks so much, Jop. And thanks, Conrad, for doing such a great job manning these massive buttons and switches and levers. I feel like I'm watching the Wizard of Oz here. You're the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, he is magic because he can make even us sound good. So that's an amazing thing.
And I want to give you guys kudos because I know your station in Lowell, 99.5, is mine. And for a couple of months, it had some, burnt wires. I think some squirrels got in there or something.
Yeah.
But it's all fixed up and running. And
new
you're,
squirrels.
You're piping out loud and clear.
Right. Yeah.
And don't forget Jethro South, you guys, 98.9 FM and 980 AM Otsego, Kalamazoo.
That's perfect. Awesome. Yeah. That's
we'd
awesome.
We'd love to be down there
let's
in
get
Bronco
some,
country.
Let's get some more stations.
Yeah, exactly. Bob, when we talked to everybody last week, I was headed out to the Sparty Party on Saturday. We actually recorded a little early, and the good, bad, and the ugly. We'll stick about the bad and the ugly, and I'll just tell you, it took me a while to get in there.
Yeah.
The traffic was crazy. I got there way early, but obviously not early enough.
But I bet it didn't affect your mood at all.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. You know, after sitting there for the first hour, you just stop being mad about it because there's nothing you can do. So you just, start texting people, calling people on the phone, working on this or that, and, a couple hours later, I was in the place. But we had a great time. I had partnered up with one of our vendors, Lincoln National. I got to give Bob Guinea a shout out because he got us in the first four parking spots. He had some handicapped parking stickers. I saw him limp, so I'm not going to throw him under that bus. But we were right.
Well, if he's
next
handicapped, you shouldn't be throwing him anywhere.
No, exactly. I'm not sure. Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
Lincoln National, that's a great Michigan company.
Yep. So basically, we were in the first four spots on the northeast corner of the parking lot, right behind the south end of the stadium. And the highlight of the whole deal for me, we had some great food, and we'll cover some of those things that we brought. But the highlight of the whole thing for me was the band. There was a gentleman in our tailgate who used to be a drum major in the Michigan State Band when he was in college several years ago, but was still connected to the program, went over and found the band director. They sent the entire Michigan State Band over. He stood in our tailgate, and they did the fight song. I mean, it just made the hair stand up on the back of your neck. It was so loud.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, man, it was really, really
cool. And they don't
cool.
even need microphones or anything because you got all those horns and those big drums. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool.
How cool.
I don't think it was the halftime band, but, it was like the pep band that was running around, but there were still 70 or 80 of them out there.
Whoa.
It was so cool. So very cool. But we had a great tailgate, a little bit of misty rain. I know there's probably a lot of Michigan fans listening that didn't think too much of the result of the game, but all things considered, you have to admit that it was a fantastic game. Michigan was up most of the game, and then it ended in a different way. Go Green.
Well, I got to watch it from Cranker's Brewery up in Big Rapids.
Sure.
And he's got a new Blood Red Orange IPA that is fantastic. I could only stay till halftime because I could only have a couple beers because I had to drive back to deer camp,
sure,
which is about a 25-minute run.
Yep.
So I wanted to make sure I was smart and got to hunt and didn't, drive intoxicated.
So one of the things I want to talk about from the tailgate as far as food went is that we brought some ribs. And what we did is, and it was an experiment, but it worked. I smoked them on the smoker, and I cut them up into individual bones after they were smoked, right? And they're on there about 6 hours. And I cooled them down and put them in a cooler in a big metal, like, chafing pan.
Yep.
Right? And then when I got there, I put them right on the grill in that chafing pan. I took a beer and poured it right in the bottom of the pan, and I took tin foil and put it over the top and kind of let them steam on a medium grill. I didn't want to cook them anymore. I just wanted to get that beer boiling in there.
Warm them up.
And warm them up. They were in there maybe like 15, 20 minutes is all, and you couldn't touch them, man, when you pulled them out of there. They were that hot and fresh, and that beer moistened everything back up again. Because, you know, when ribs get cold, dry out, they get a little firm.
Yep.
Right? And these loosened right back up again. And people are like, oh, my God, you cooked ribs here? How'd you do that so quick? And I'm like, well, you know, it's magic. It's Grilling Guys magic. But anyway, yeah,
didn't get oversteamed, so they fell apart.
Right. No.
Great.
They still had the little pole.
That's
on
the key.
Yeah.
The key there is timing. Timing and temperature, right?
Right.
And if in our world, if your ribs are falling off the bone, you've gone too long.
Right.
Now, in your world is all that matters, because your wife or girlfriend or better half, however that person wants them, that's what matters where you're grilling. So we no longer judge ribs, because
right.
My wife likes them falling off the bone.
Right.
And I have a hard time doing it, but I do it for her.
Well, and the thing is that we, you know, many moons ago, we competed in barbecue, and you had to understand what they were looking for and what the perceived perfect rib was, and it didn't fall off the bone. And that's kind of stuck with me, no pun intended.
KCBS, Kansas right. City Barbecue Society.
Right. But most people, and I get it, especially the ladies, they don't want to pull on that bone and gnaw on that bone. They want to just get the meat off the bone, and therefore you cook them a little longer, and you can just shake it a little bit, and it'll fall off. But
so many jokes in
right.
there.
Yeah, I'll leave them all
alone. I had a little mishap at deer camp. I was by myself, which was pretty lonely.
Was this after the state game? I mean, we're talking
about
the same
stand? Well,
the
whole weekend. The whole weekend. My buddy Joe came out and helped me move a stand. Thank you, Joe. You're just a...
Got to have buddies during deer
camp.
Yeah.
And he's a retired Army E-8 and lives up there. Got a beautiful property and house, and known him since childhood. Helped me, and without his help, I couldn't. It's that 22-footer.
It's not that heavy. It's just super awkward when it gets in the air.
Yeah. So I now have it in the perfect tree.
Good.
But I saw nothing. I have nothing on my game cams. Nothing going on right now.
Huh.
So I should be up there right now, but my wife took off for the weekend, and I got to finish up my barbecue area in the back. So I'm taking the weekend off and just giving the spots.
Too.
I know, but I got, you know, I'm still a dad and a husband and all that stuff.
So explain the mishap.
Well, so... After my last hunt Sunday morning, I'm cruising through. There's 400 acres we have control of there.
Right.
And they're different cousins, different gates to open and whatnot. And I don't go in the other ones much. And I will never again. There was just enough ground fog that I couldn't quite see the trails aren't very well established. They're smooth, but we never use them much anymore. So it's not like, you know, there's all kinds of tire tracks or anything. And I think based on the fog, it was only like 2 foot off the ground. It was really cool looking.
Yeah.
But I couldn't see the tracks. And I veered off it just enough that I was no longer on the track. And I found a stump. And it went under my Jeep.
Ooh.
And I have never stopped so fast in my life. Well, one other time.
Hit a wall, though.
One other time.
It's like, boom, you're done.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
You were okay, but the car wasn't? Or the Jeep?
Terrible. It's so depressing, because I just come to the... I'd been telling my friends how much I loved this Jeep because I had 200,000 miles on it,
right.
And it didn't owe me a thing. The thing
right.
never broke. I put a couple front hubs on it, and that's it.
Right.
And wheel bearings.
Right.
And I just decided, I'm going to see how many miles I can put on this thing. Well, the night before, and then Saturday, and... was going to be Sunday. There's some great hills just across the road, and I was having fun climbing sandy hills, and
right.
I found that thing went really well. Well, and it had rained, and the roads were terribly muddy, so this Jeep looked so cool. It's got a little bit of a lift to it, and all this mud...
Not enough.
All this...
it's not stump jumper lift.
No, but it had all this mud on the sides. And it was just like, yeah, that's what this thing's made to do.
Right.
So that's why I decided to go for one last little ride before I left to just
always
take it down
last
the trail.
One more.
Yeah.
Get you in trouble. One more.
So my buddy Joe, like a good friend he is, I called him up and I said, buddy, I need to get my Jeep to a body shop. And he says, what's going on? So he comes over. He has a car hauler
Oh.
behind one of his many trucks.
Right.
And we hauled that thing all the way down to Lowell to Barry Auto Body, who does all my body work. And we've got five kids, done a lot of body work.
Right.
And then I had to talk to my agent, who's a sweetheart. And then I had to talk to a claim...
Isn't that agent your niece or
something? A claims adjuster, yes.
Right.
And this claims adjuster, I was just so ashamed. I got to call in a claim for stupidity.
Right.
And,
oh, it's an accident.
And I want to give credit to Farm Bureau. This girl was so nice. I won't say her name, but somewhere in Lansing probably. She said, well, you have full coverage, so good for you. That's what it's for. And she took that guilty feeling I had off of me.
That's okay. I'll give it back.
But I have better news because the week has gotten so much better. We have a new sponsor.
We do.
And you might have seen this guy doing his infomercials. He used to work out of the trunk of his car. But MyPillows is coming on with the Grilling Guys, and we're going to have MyPillow sponsorship now, and we're going to have some nice pillows.
Yeah, we are. Bed toppers, whatever it may be. But that's cool. That's good news. The Grilling Guys are legit, right? We're too legit to quit because we had an opportunity to. But anyway, coming up next, maybe a last-minute trip to Alan Bob's or some fresh kills. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orange Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro Country with a twist. But anyway, hey, we're talking deer camp. And Bob was just explaining how he tuned up his truck a little bit at deer camp. But never fear, Farm Bureau's here, and they took care of you. But,
yeah.
Speaking of getting taken care of, the rifle season is coming up. This show's going to be, what is it, the 6th. So you got one more weekend. I think opener's on a Monday, the 15th. And so you got just a little bit of time to get to Alan Bob Sports on 131 and 68th Street, southern part of Grand Rapids.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Get a last-minute tune-up.
Well, and here's the thought. Right now is the time you want to start using your dough and heat or any estrus or anything like that if you like using any scents. Now's the time to get that out. And they have a couple of different local blends down there that I'm told by Merle himself are fantastic. So that's what I'll be
essence,
doing.
Essence of Merle?
No. I said fantastic.
Oh, okay.
So another thing they have that's really cool are these. We used to use them for artificial insemination in cows. It's a plastic glove.
That was Bob's first career for the first 22 years of his life.
No, but I grew up on dairy farms, right?
Right.
So it's a glove that goes up your shoulder.
Right.
And it's great for cleaning deer out.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
nice.
Are they slippery though at the end? I mean, are they made out of? I've never had one on, but can you get some grip? Because a lot of times,
oh yeah,
you need some
no,
grip.
No, they're fantastic.
Okay,
yeah,
very good.
They're fantastic.
I didn't know if it was like a big plastic
and
glove.
If they are a little slick, you can just lick your fingers.
Yeah, right. Before you put the glove on. Yeah.
Let's talk about a fresh kill.
Okay, go ahead.
Because there's lots of them going on.
Oh yeah. I don't know about you, but I've got several buddies that have posted really nice deer from their bow hunts this in the last week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really heated up, like you said.
Yeah, it is. And matter of fact, when I came home from my trip, there was a 5-point laying in my driveway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody hit him, and he just died right at the base of the driveway.
Wow.
It's too bad. I hate seeing young bucks like that go down.
Right.
Anyway, so one thing that some people really like is heart meat.
Right.
And you can take that heart and slice it really, really thin, like almost potato chip thin, and fry it up in butter. Or in this case, I'm going to go with Old World Olives butter EVO and a little garlic salt.
Ooh.
And fry that up just to brown it enough. It's going to be medium rare.
Right.
Because it's a tough muscle.
It's a very lean muscle.
But it's got a flavor that is very, very unique.
Right.
So don't throw that heart away. Give it a try. Mm-hmm. Another friend of mine said that fresh liver, thinly sliced on garlic toast, is phenomenal.
Sure.
Raw.
Raw?
Yeah.
Oh, that you hooked me there until you said raw.
Yes.
That nasty little three-letter word.
Well, that's okay.
I'm not sure.
Guy happens to be... Palestinian, you know, the kibbeh and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But he's a successful fella, and he likes good food.
And he's eaten it raw before, and he's tell about it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Full
whatever you like.
Of vitamins, just full of nutrients for you. But, you know, everybody likes to talk about the loin, back straps.
Right.
And there's a couple things you can do with back straps. I think you like doing them whole.
I do. And I'll either marinate them in, of all things, apple cider.
Mm-hmm.
It's super good. It sounds like, but wait till you try it. A little bit of apple cider, and there's some acidity in cider, right?
How long would you marinate it?
Just like maybe an hour is all. Not long, but because it'll start to soften the meat too much if you leave it in there too long. But the apple flavor on wild game is fantastic. And it's just this is a very lean muscle. It for those of you that don't know.
So you
know,
want to use raw cider,
right?
Not apple juice homogenized.
Correct. Yeah, I'm raw cider. Right, exactly. These are the two pieces of meat that go right down either side of the backbone, above the rib cage. They're about as big around as a tennis ball, maybe a little bit bigger depending on the size of the deer you get, and they're maybe 16 inches long, but super super tender. It's they aren't the tenderloin. It's the loin along the backs. There's a tenderloin on the inside of each rear leg that are only about 7 or 8 inches.
So long. Here's what I'm thinking: if you're at deer camp, you might not have apple cider, but you might have a hard cider.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
I bet that would work.
Might be a little tart. The reason that I like apple cider is it's still got a little bit of sweetness to it. The hard ciders tend to be a little bit tart, or I don't know. I've just always done it with cider, but a half a gallon in a plastic. Ziploc.
And then you're going to smoke it?
Yep.
Or grill it and roll it?
Right. Either way.
Low temp.
Low temp.
Bring it up to what?
I'm going to go about 125 and then set it on a board and let it rest. And then
you're going to wrap it when you set it on the board?
No, I'm not. I'm going to let it because I want it to chill down. Then I'm going to cut it into medallions.
But don't you want to keep the moisture in it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. But I mean, I don't think it's going to rest on the board. It's a smaller piece of meat.
It's not going to rest very long.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to eat it, man.
Don't waste the aluminum foil.
Right. But anyway, so, that's how I would do that. And then just some, you know, some salt and pepper or maybe like a Montreal steak seasoning, but very light.
So here's,
let the meat do the work.
So here's what. I'm going to do my pork chop method to that loin, and I'm going to cut them into chops about an inch.
Thick.
Yep.
So there'll be little medallions.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's back straps, so they're pretty good size. Not the tenderloins, the back straps.
Right.
And then I'm going to put some EVO on them, and if I have my Jacquard with me, I'm going to probably tenderize them just a little bit. Should be already tender, but here's why I like to do that with oil. I want to drive a little bit of that olive oil into the meat.
Right.
It just helps keep it juicy. And I'm going to grill it medium rare, 130, 135, and pull them off and cover them, rest them.
Right.
And maybe throw some apple slices or something like that on there, a little chutney when you're ready to eat them. I love chutney on venison.
It's really good.
It's good on fish too, but if you get like an apple chutney and you can make it yourself, it's just apple sugar, vinegar, raisins, cook it up, and there's some aromatics you can put in there, but you just cook it up and you cool it down, put it in a jar, and when you scoop it out on your meat, you can do it while it's on the grill finishing.
Right.
That's really nice because then it warms up,
right.
And it's beautiful. You'll have them just chomping at the bit to get thing.
Yeah, and here's the good part about that, guys, is that chutney can be made days or weeks ahead.
Absolutely have to.
So you can bring it with you and just have it as a condiment when you're ready to you know, if you don't shoot your deer the first day,
yes,
you still got it with you.
Absolutely.
Right?
And you might, you know, be smart enough to bring up some meat, because if I was counting on what I shot last weekend,
right,
I would have been at a restaurant
all
every
you,
night.
All you did is shoot the front end of your Jeep out, right? But, hey, the last one, another loin recipe that's really good. How can anything be wrong with bacon on it, right?
Yeah.
Again, this loin is lean, and I would get thin bacon, not thick sliced, because you want the bacon to cook fully and not overcook the loin on the inside.
That'd be something you could marinate in a little zesty Italian.
Sure, sure.
It's also a fantastic marinade.
Yep. So, and just, I would smoke that if you have a smoker. If not, you could do that in a cast skillet over the fire. You could, you know,
or a
Dutch oven. Speaking of Dutch ovens. But, you know, you just want that, again, that 125, 130. The reason I like cast for this is that you want that bacon to get crisp.
Yes.
And that cast is going to be
hot. Nothing does it like that.
Right.
Nothing does. I have my big Lodge, my big round. It's a top to that combo Dutch oven thing. And it's a beautiful grill. I keep that at deer camp.
Right. Yep. It's awesome.
Shouldn't say that.
Speaking of cast and the Dutch, yes, I do enjoy Dutch ovens. And if you were a listener of the show prior to us coming to Jethro, you'll know that I rode Bob pretty long and hard on his Dutch oven, because he'll put anything in there and think it's just the best thing in the world, which generally it is. But I'm converted. I'm over to the Dutch oven. It's a great piece of equipment, and you cannot go wrong. So coming up next, once you put a roast in there, Bob's going to maybe even put some kielbasa in it, but you're not going to want to miss this recipe. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
We live it. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our name. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're talking deer camp specials. And Bob is a much more avid deer hunter than I am. I am the camp cook when I show, and oftentimes that's all I am, is the camp cook. And I wait for people to bring me duck or some venison, whatever is in season at
you
that
You used to
time.
Hunt duck.
I did.
You just gave up on it?
Well, I lost my dog.
Yeah.
And once you lose your dog, duck hunting is a lot of work.
Yes, it is. And it gets so cold jumping in that water.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I make too big of a wake when I'm swimming out to get them, right?
Yeah. So if you're fortunate at deer camp and you take a doe, I like shooting doe first, and you want to have a nice shoulder roast, the Dutch oven is your ticket.
Right.
And if you don't have one, go get one.
Right.
I think you could still order one right from Lodge online right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Allen Bob's has Dutch ovens, any Lodge stuff.
I've not seen
They do
them.
Have Stormy Cromer, but they don't have a Lodge.
Right.
We'll have to work on them.
Right.
Anyway, so, you know, a lot of times people look at a front shoulder and just say, man, that's going to be jerky or something like that.
Or hamburger.
But if you have a Dutch oven and a campfire, I would tell you to use a tripod to make it the simplest. Because otherwise, if you put it next to the fire, you're always rotating it. And if you're at deer camp like a lot of us, you might be sitting around telling lies and having a beer.
Feet
and you'll
up.
Forget to turn it.
Yeah.
So if it's the big 12 quart with the rim on the top, you can take some coals, put them on the ground, put a scoop of coals on top of it, and it'll cook beautifully that way.
Right.
But either way, you're going to want that shoulder in there for about 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
The longer, the better.
Yep.
And I'm going to want to throw a little bit of beef broth in with that, some fresh onions. I like thyme on venison.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite herbs. And also a little garlic and some black pepper and
right.
salt.
And I would take that, before we get it cooking, I wanted to mention that I would make that a boneless shoulder roast. Don't mess around trying to cut the blade, the shoulder with the blade in it on that. Just bone it out because it'll cook in probably 20% less time.
Yeah.
If you've got that just as a boneless shoulder roast, and you'll love it. And it'll and Bob is the one that taught me this on the pork butts, because now I'll only buy boneless pork butts. I mean, I'd do the bone in if I have to. But they're cut open, the bones removed, and you can get seasoning all through the roast, just on the top.
And if you're smoking it, you get the bark.
Right. Yep, exactly. And but in this Dutch oven, so you're going to leave that on there. And when you say coals, I think it's important for everybody to know is you build a wood fire, right? You're sitting around the fire, drinking beer, having a scotch, whatever you like to do. And there's going to be some of those red hot embers down there
shovel.
On the bottom. Right. That's where I was going is you don't want to reach in there with your boot.
No.
You know?
And, no, did that once.
Yeah. So now 1 foot's cold, right?
No, now I got new boots.
Right, yeah.
Alan Bob says those too.
Yeah.
Take a shovel and dig a little bit of a hole to put that first load of coals in. Then they're at ground level.
Right.
Set that Dutch oven on top. And if it's the type
right on top of the coals.
If it has, and you don't want many coals, you want about 1.5 to 2 inches max because they have a lot of heat. And then put a scoop on top if it's the lid with a railing around it.
Right.
And same thing, you know, just a nice little mound on top and let her go. And then after, hour and a half, take your mitts with you.
I was just going to say that.
Take your welding gloves.
Right.
And then brush off those coals, lift the lid, and take a look at how you're doing. Lift that, put the lid back on, keep your gloves on, take that thing off the coals, and put some more hot coals on there because
they're
about gone.
Right.
Yeah, put another scoop of coals. So that means you got to keep your fire going so you
right.
have a nice bed of coals. And any good barbecue guy, the best part of his work is keeping that fire going
sure.
and making coals.
That's what cigars and little glasses of scotch and bourbon are for, is to sit around that fire and just keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Keep you going, keep it going.
And now it's nice and cold. Now it's nice and cold. You'll want that fire.
Right.
Because I camp, we're in the woods and we do everything outside.
Right.
I have that expedition tent up, and I'll tell you what, that little heater I got, my brother-in-law bought, it's made in America. It's made in like Nebraska or maybe South Dakota, and it comes in a bag. You literally put the thing together when you're going to use it. That thing, and then you throw a load of sand in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. I haven't seen that yet.
And if you're older, like me and all the guys I hunt with, you're getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning after drinking beer for hours, and you're going to step outside the tent for a minute. That's when you put the wood on.
Right.
Ted.
Yeah. So when you come back in, there's a little bit of heat going on there. Yeah. Hey, speaking of that heat, these Dutch ovens, I've heard a lot of guys doing this. There's usually a metal handle on the top, like a just a little piece of wire, but it's heavy. But it'll, you know, just because that thing's setting down over the side, do not assume that it's not red hot, because it gets that way. And if you grab that handle without a pair of gloves, you're going to have a nice stripe right across the palm of your hand where that thing hits you.
Yeah, that's right? A tattoo.
Right. So, you know, while it's a badge of honor, it's a badge of stupidity. just don't do that.
It's a learning curve.
Bring your leather welding gloves and all will be good.
So when you take that lid off after an hour and a half, now you're going to put your potatoes. You should have already had your onions in there, but you're going to put your potatoes, carrots, maybe a little cabbage. I like cabbage. It's really good for you.
You're making a boiled dinner, sure.
You really are. And you're going to throw that back on for another hour and a half. When you pull it off, the aroma is going to drive you nuts. But the flavor with that broth and that beautiful chunk of meat, whether you bone it out or throw it in with the bone on it, I typically with a shoulder will just leave the bone on it. But either way, it's just fine. Now, you can do the same thing with kielbasa, and I would tell you to go to Sobeys and get Parkside Kielbasa because it's just so good. If you've never gotten it, I'm telling you, you got to go get
it now. It's multi-year winner of Kielbasa Idol in West Michigan, which is the best kielbasa in West Michigan. He won it so many times, he stopped competing with it to let the other guys win. Tim's just that generous.
Yeah.
But my point was, I'm going to take a little tangent back to the Sparty party that I did. I took that kielbasa, that Parkside kielbasa, uncased it, made a patty out of it, and wrapped it around a boiled egg. These are now called scotch eggs. Put that on the smoker for an hour, hour and a half. I made 48 of them. And I served 35 of the 48 at the Sparty party, and it was just, I take them and cut them in quarters, and they open up, and they're like a little wedge with the egg, boiled egg, and sausage in there. I had more rants and raves about that dish than almost anything else I did. People were like, oh, my God.
Because it's breakfast.
Yeah. And it was a morning. It was a noon
morning
game.
Right,
yeah. But people were amazed at that. I said, it's simple. I said, the magic ingredient is Sobe Meats Parkside Kielbasa, because if it doesn't taste like that, it's good.
Well, they also have a really nice lean breakfast sausage. That would probably make a pretty good wrap for that, too.
The kielbasa just got such a wonderful flavor.
So putting the kielbasa in that Dutch oven is a great idea. Also bringing up a little kraut if you like kraut.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to throw some onions and stuff in there and a little bit of broth because you don't want it to burn and stick to the bottom.
Right. I would have a jar of horseradish here as well for that.
Horseradish?
Horseradish, yeah. Not harsh, horse.
Sobe also sells this Sobe commercial. He also sells this honey dip, mustard.
For the Dots pretzels?
Yes. So that mustard is fantastic on a brat. Sweet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But it's made to dunk those Dots pretzels in. It's unbelievable. What a great snack. But anyway, coming up next, tripod supper. Does that mean, I'm not sure what that means. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, thanks for tuning in each and every week. Bob, we got a website. We got a podcast. Tell them about it because if you can't hear this live, we got you covered.
Yeah, thegrillinguys.com. There's going to be a new banner on there because, as we said, MyPillow is a new sponsor, so there will be a new banner. But on the right side, you can see all the sponsors, and if you click on their logo, it's going to take you to whatever deals they've got. Like, I'm thinking ThermoPen. If you don't have a ThermoPen, Christmas is coming.
Yep.
MyPillow.
Yeah, shop early.
MyPillow. Christmas is coming.
Yep.
They've got those Giza sheets and all that stuff. And
I personally sleep on one of those mattress toppers. I was the biggest skeptic when my wife ordered that thing. Now I tell everybody about it, how much better my bed is. And this was before they became a sponsor. I'm serious. That thing was amazing difference.
Well, here's the cool thing about that company. It's all American.
Right. Minnesota, right?
And yeah. And, you know, he's endured terrible political attacks because he liked our last president.
Right.
So all these big chain stores were taking him off the shelf. I mean, that stuff's horrible. So I said, I want to come behind this company because what was done to him is just not right.
Right.
It's just not right.
And this is America, and you're entitled to your opinion, and you ought to be able to voice it.
He employs hundreds of Americans in Minnesota.
Right. Exactly.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
So anyway, Tripod Supper. So thegrillingguys.com, get the specials there. All the rest
Squirrel.
Of All the recipes are on there. You go up to the top search bar, just put in a keyword that you're looking for. Shish kebab. We got a great shish kebab recipe. Marinade. You can put in marinade. You can put in whatever,
ribs,
whatever
chicken,
you want. Yeah.
Pork
there's,
butts.
There's 12, year, 12 years worth of recipes there.
Right. Yep. And some of them are even good.
Not many. So I happen to love my tripod. That guy from Born Outdoors from Muskegon. I think I don't think he's in business anymore, but he gave me one, and it's just a tripod with a grate, and it's got a fantastic handle. You won't burn yourself with this thing, but it's so nice to cook over a fire. If you're doing steaks, you can bring it right down to the coals, you know, and get a good sear on it. Mm-hmm. When you want to let it slow down, you just raise it up a little bit. I'm going to do burgers. I love, I'm a hamburger freak. Love a good burger. Hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I just eat them. And Sobe sells several different brands.
I got the German wieners from Sobe for the Sparty party. And it was hilarious because I saved them to the end. All right. I know like where we're at. We're not going to get out of there quick because we're way up in the nose of the lot. So I kind of surprised everybody. Those little pickles that are shredded. That Sobe sells.
Oh, yeah.
And some onions, mustard, and ketchup. And I did 100 hot dogs and was handing them out to people fresh off the grill and set up a little area right beside the grill at the end of
the
game.
Did you have our canopy up with the backdrop and everything?
No, I did not because I didn't want to haul that in. Others brought their canopies there. But it was just fun at the end of the game, everybody walking by, you know, a little bit hungry, been in the game 3 and 3.5 hours, and it was fun. It was just a good time. But
bonus.
Yeah, it was a bonus dog. And your way out.
So another thing you can do on that grate for a tripod is chicken. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And you can spatchcock it, which means basically cutting the spine and ribs out of it and laying it flat. Or you can quarter it and do quarters. That's also good.
Right.
Or you can just buy bone-in, skin-on breasts.
Right.
And those are fantastic. But again, even at deer camp, now it's nice to have a thermopen. Because with chicken, I'm a chicken. Yep. I want that baby cooked, but I don't want it overcooked.
Right.
I don't want to cut into a piece of chicken and see blood.
Right. Nobody does. It turns off people.
And I don't want it dry.
Right.
So if I'm going to do a breast on a tripod on a grate over coals, and I cook on oak, we're full of maple and oak up there.
What Bob just said, you're cooking over coals. You're not cooking over the open fire where the flames are licking the bottom of your food.
So when you head
that's
off
only
your,
on TV.
When you head off to your stand, if you can be relatively close and it's not windy, make sure you throw a few more logs on that fire.
Right.
Because you want a good bed of coals when you get back. I'm so hungry right now. I can't even stand it. But a skin on, and your butcher might have some really nice chicken. I go to either Sobe or I go to that fresh market in Ada, and they always have beautiful fresh meat. And that's what I want to see. I don't want that mass-produced stuff.
Something that's in a package with a little sponge underneath it.
Right.
A napkin.
When that turns red, your meat's done. But so if I'm doing a breast like that, I want to put oil on the open side, and I want to put seasoning on that, and then season the skin. And I'm going to cook it with the open side down first and let that skin meld into that chicken so that fat is running through the meat a little bit. And then when that bottom is so dark, I have to flip it for risk of burning.
Right.
That's when I'm going to flip it. And by this point, so much of that fat has melted that it's going to want to flare up a little bit.
Yep.
So if you have a good tripod, you can raise it up a little bit so you don't totally toast it. But then I'm going to bring it there until it's crispy the way I like it, and I'm going to pull out my thermopen. You can get that off our website. And
great holiday gift.
Yeah, $79. The new ones read in 1 second.
Right.
And so I'm going to bring that up to 165 max. Take those. Now, if it's a thigh, bone-in thigh, I'm bringing that up to 180.
Right.
Because they just have a lot of connective tissue, I want that to break down. I want it to be nice and tender. But I love a bone-in thigh. They're great, too.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and because you get two pieces of meat on a bone-in thigh. They're wonderful that way. But I just enjoy – everybody likes chicken, man. The key is I think of all that Bob just described is the meat side down the first time, and then flip it over and do the skin side at the end, because you want it crisp, but you don't want it burned. And it is a shield for heat. So you want most of your cooking to happen when with the raw side down, the meat side down, then finish it.
And sometimes you'll bring some cooked meat up with you. And if I'm going to do skinless, boneless thighs for cooked chicken to bring up, mm-hmm. and I got a Dutch oven there, do you suppose you could make like a nice chicken dip in a Dutch oven?
Oh, man. Yeah, wonderful. I'm going to do that later today. Lisa's got some people coming over for cards, and I make a buffalo chicken dip. You could find a recipe anywhere.
There's a ton of them.
But
that one you've got's good.
Right. This one's going to go in. I usually do it in a large cast skillet, but I'm going to do it in a Dutch oven because I want it deeper this time, and we're going to mix it up.
And it stays warmer that way.
Oh, yeah, right, because that cast really grabs the heat, holds the heat. You can set it on. You don't need it plugged in. It's just a great, great deal, and I'll spare you the recipe, but it's always, always got skinless, boneless thighs that have been smoked in it. And when you take a bite of the buffalo dip with smoked chicken, it just gives it a little more.
And then you're going to chop that up with a cleaver on a board so it's nice and small bits.
Right, yep.
So you don't break your cracker.
The scoop chips, ooh, those are good. And it's loose. I use half cream cheese and half sour cream when I make the base of it.
So it's more.
So it's liquider, yes. A little more liquidy. It's got jalapenos in it, some red onion.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. It's super good.
We had a Halloween party at Maggie's house Sunday, and Jordan brought over his. My son Jordan's quite the foodie, too.
Yeah.
And all my kids cook. I mean, they're
they didn't good. Go away from home to get it. Your wife's a great cook.
Yes. She taught him everything. Okay, so anyway, yeah. I do love that buffalo chicken dip. There's one type of sauce. Buffalo sauce, that's really good. What is
Moore's.
It?
It's Moore's. M-O-O-R-E. Moore's, yeah. And it's a buffalo chicken sauce. It's actually got some crumbled blue cheese in the dip.
You can find that in any Spartan store.
Right, yep, and they're good. I don't know if Sobeys carries it. I think they do, but...
I wonder.
Yeah, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a buffalo chicken dip, and you can make your own, but blue cheese is good. I'm about 50-50. I love it, but about 50% of the people that I cook for don't. So I usually put it on the side, and you can throw it on top of your little bowl of the dip if you like it in there. It's up to you. But a little bit of that goes a long ways for a lot of people.
I would just put it in.
Yeah. I do.
I don't want everybody to like it.
They don't know how much of it they've got, right? Right? But, hey, if you're going to go to deer camp, last tip from Jop is bring some bottled water with you, right? Because you're going to have to hydrate at some point. Man cannot live on beer alone. You got to eat sometimes too.
Well,
but freeze them. This is your ice, okay?
Well, I would tell you to get a big water caribou. I've got a 6 gallon, looks like an army gas can.
Yep.
I got a 6 gallon water jug, and that's even better because then you don't have a million plastic bottles.
That's true. I use the bottles for ice in my coolers, and then as they thaw, we drink them. Right, but it's because I want to bring the water anyway, so I just double purpose it.
Yeah,
that's all.
Well, you're a city boy, you would do
that. Yeah, I understand. Plus, I'm not going to drink 6 bottles of water in one night. I'm only going to camp one night, right? you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and Jethro, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. If you're getting up in a tree, be safe. Get yourself a big old buck and post a picture of it on Facebook. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, don't forget to hit us up on Facebook / The Grilling Guys. Give us some pictures. Peace out.